The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a novel titled House of Living Stones. It's written by regular guest Katie Schuerman. House of Living Stones tells a story about the power of forgiveness in the life of a small Lutheran congregation. House of Living Stones costs $10.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. House of Living Stones.
You're the crossroads. These troops get by you, we're all dead in the water. All we got is you.
There ain't no crusade to get like we have. That's because of him.
You know what's waiting for us.
They're coming.
How many?
300 of them.
The tank's busted.
We ain't never run before. Why are we gonna run now?
I'm gonna hold this crossroad.
What are you doing?
It's my home.
I'm staying here with you.
Light him up!
I'm scared.
I'm scared too.
We're still in this fight! We're still in this fight! Come on!
That is the trailer from a new film with a lot of star power, a lot of realistic violence, and a lot of religious themes called Fury. We're going to be reviewing that movie here in the second hour of Issues Etc. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, October the 23rd. Pastor Ted Giese will join us. He does movie reviews with us on a regular basis. This is one of those kind of movies that you're not going to take the family to necessarily, but it is one of those kind of movies that may be one that a Christian wants to see. Not comfortable, not easy to watch, difficult to watch, but maybe rewarding in more than just an entertainment sense. We'll talk about it with Pastor Ted Giese. A little bit later, we continue our Christ in the Old Testament series. We'll be in Psalm 46, God is Our Fortress, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Feel free to join us with questions or comments in the course of the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. If you're listening on demand, as I know so many of you are, use our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say this film is exceedingly bleak and disheartening. That's a real encourager there. But you say it's also deeply religious. What do you mean by that?
Well, it really boils down to the characters. There's this tank crew. They're a crew for this M4 Sherman tank in World War II. And there's five guys. And of those five guys, they focus in a lot more on three of them. And the three people they focus in on each have kind of a religious part of their story that's being told. So Brad Pitt plays the Sergeant Don War Daddy Collier. He's the commander of the tank. And his religious story that he tells is one of repentance, wanting to live a life of repentance. Now, he doesn't always succeed in that. Sometimes he fails. So occasionally he comes across looking like the villain in the movie as well as a hero. But that's one of the threads that make it a deeply religious film. The other one is kind of a counterpoint character to him, because Brad Pitt's been, his character is kind of a war-wearied character. The counterpoint is this young private, Norman Ellison, played by Logan Lerman, and he's the brand new assistant driver, bow gunner, for the tank. And his story is one of discovering vocation from a kind of a religious point of view, because that hits a bunch of spots along the way. And then the third one is Shia LaBeouf, and he plays the gunner. And his nickname is Bible, so he plays Boyd Bible Swan. And he quotes a lot of scripture in the course of it, and he's very concerned as to whether soldiers are saved, whether they know Jesus. And they even show him kneeling with dying soldiers, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying grace prayers before meals, things like that. So this is where the characters themselves drive that deeply religious element within the story itself.
Now, so the sense in which it's religious is also probably, just from kind of a storytelling perspective, the sense in which it's a very realistic war story. Would you agree?
It has a real sense of realism. Now, I've not fought in a war, so I can't say just how real it is. I have had opportunity to talk to some people that were in Germany at that time, and one fellow said that it was about 50-50 right, but then through that conversation, you know, we also talked about how most movies are not even close to that in terms of getting it right. This movie, if you're a film goer or if you have passing interest in movies, it feels more in the vein of movies like Das Boot, Saving Private Ryan, or Schindler's List, and isn't like when we reviewed Monuments Men, like that one, or like The Great Escape, or, you know, a TV show like Hogan's Heroes. It's like really far away from that kind of stuff, and much closer to things like Saving Private Ryan and Schindler's List.
So just kind of a few points to hit. The plot itself, how would you describe it without spoiling too much?
It's set in like the real, real end of World War II. So this is April 1945, and they're in Germany, and they're rolling into the very last days. Like the war is going to end on May 8th. They don't know exactly when it's going to end. But this tank crew has been with each other for a very long time through the war, and they just lost their assistant driver, Bo Gunner, and this new this private comes in and joins their group. So that's kind of like the way it starts off. And the thing to remember in the movie is, and in the war itself, is these tanks, these M4 Sherman tanks, were really good at, like, in the Asian theater, like in the Pacific and stuff, because the Japanese tanks didn't have good armor. The German tanks had very good armor, so they were very much like, even though they're in a tank, that tank is fairly vulnerable up against other tanks.
What we're doing here is a righteous sack, gentlemen.
You hear me, Gordo?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this Bible verse I think about sometimes. Many times, it goes, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me."
Book of Isaiah, chapter 6.
That's the character Boyd Bible Swan, played by Shia LaBeouf, in the film Fury. Pastor Giese, what does that scene say?
It's right at kind of a really kind of grim moment. They're putting it all together. They kind of see what's coming next. And it really draws in this idea of vocation within the life of the soldier. And in the review that I wrote, I talked about Luther's 1526 treatise, Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved. And the questions that are all rattling around in their heads are kind of the kind of questions he answers in that treatise in some ways. So what you don't see, if you're in the movie theater, you can see it. That character that I mentioned, the private, Norman Ellison, he when they're talking about send me, he kind of mumbles that under his breath. He says, "Send me." So that's the moment where he's realizing that the vocation that he's found himself in is actually his vocation. So he is a soldier. The sergeant at the end, that's Brad Pitt at the end, who actually knows where in the Bible that is, so he's the one that says Isaiah chapter 6, it's revealed to you that he knows quite a lot more than maybe was led on during the course of the movie. he then turns around not long after that and quotes from 1 John chapter 2. So like they're really thinking about their faith. Their faith is right with them in that tank as they look death in the face. The name of the tank itself is Fury.
So these men are depicted in the story as it's not just kind of a generic spiritual struggle. It is, why am I here? Why has God put me here in this particular literal crossroads facing the enemy as a soldier? And it sounds like the resolve is this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing right now at this time.
Yeah. And then how to do it justly. How to do the job well. How to do the job in the best possible way for being a soldier. Like one of the kind of key things that happens during the course of the movie is right at the very beginning you see Brad Pitt's character, the sergeant, jumping from his disabled tank in a different battle, knocking a lone Nazi officer off of this white horse. And he doesn't spare the officer, he kills the officer, but the horse he lets go. Later, there's a scene where they're all sitting around and they're having this kind of very uncomfortable supper, and the driver starts telling a story that it's very clear immediately that the sergeant actually doesn't want the story to be told, but it's about a period of time when they went through France, and for 3 whole days they had to just shoot wounded horses. So then you discover that really what happened was he let that horse go at the beginning because he doesn't want to be like that anymore. He wanted to do differently, to be different, to live a life of repentance in his work as a soldier. So like that's a really interesting part of the overall story of the film itself, and seeing how that plays out at the end when they're in a literal crossroads fighting. So it's an interesting way of going about things in the film.
We're reviewing the movie Fury. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, October the 23rd. When we come back, there's an interesting side story to this film. Shia LaBeouf, one of the actors there, telling the press that he found God while playing this role. We'll see what Pastor Ted Giese thinks about that right after this.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues, Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues, Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Fury with him on this Thursday afternoon. I think you saw some of the media coverage that's come out around this film. Shia LaBeouf, one of the actors in the film, who plays probably the most explicitly Christian character in the film. He's been known lately, Ted, to be a wild man. It's a very, very mild way of putting it. Unhinged, some people have said about Shia LaBeouf's behavior in public. But he said, and I don't want you to evaluate so much his claim, but does it surprise you that he has said that in playing this character and playing alongside these other actors in this situation, that he's actually become a Christian of some sorts? Does that surprise you?
I don't know if it surprises me. I'm glad for that. I hope that's the case. I desperately hope that that's the case. And I'm going to say, you know, I hope it's not a fad. I hope it's not a passing thing. I hope that Buddhism isn't around the corner or some other thing down the road. I pray the Holy Spirit really has, you know, got a hold of him and brought him to faith in Christ in a way that's going to be lasting unto eternity for him. And, you know, if you're looking for something to pray for out there, pray for him. You know, keep these people in your prayers. You know, I read another article about this too, where Brad Pitt grew up in a Christian home as a kid, and apparently he was helpful with Shia during the filming of the movie, but it said that he's not in a Christian faith right now. So pray for Brad Pitt that he would come back, that he would be as repentant in his real life as this character is struggling to be within the movie that he played. The director himself is a Christian. Pray for that guy, because we want to have more Christian directors making movies with Christian content in it, struggling with real questions and thoughts that Christians have. I think that's excellent. So, you know, pray for these guys. Pray that the Holy Spirit would keep building them up in their faith.
This is a film essentially about the struggle of conscience, and this is a real life story. You know, it's not true to life, but it's a real life story for so many, probably every person who's faced that combat experience as a soldier, the struggle of conscience. You mentioned earlier that the 16th century reformer Martin Luther addressed this situation in particular. What was his answer there? Can a soldier too be saved?
Well, his answer is yes, they can. And one of the quotes from that I used in the review is this one where Luther says, "One would think that war was such an absorbing matter that soldiers were unable to think about God and their souls. Actually, however, we ought to think most about God and our souls when we are in danger of death." So, like, this is a big matter of conscience. In the movie, the character of Private Norman actually talks about his conscience at one point, early on. And Luther says that you can have a clear conscience as a soldier, knowing that the Lord is using you to fulfill the fourth commandment, essentially. All authority, if you want to go read something from Scripture, chapter 13 of Romans talks about how authority is given by God to rulers. And then through the rulers, right down to the foot soldier, that authority is worked out. So, you know, it gets into some just war theory later on in that treatise that he wrote. But as a soldier fighting in that war, then you are kind of directed back towards what John the Baptist says about, you know, repentance when the Roman soldiers are coming to him to be baptized and says, what should we do? And he says, don't extort money. You know, don't use your authority in a bad way. Use it in a good way. You know, fulfill your work. You know, later in that same treatise, he says that when you're fighting as a soldier, think of your fist as God's fist, you know, as you're fighting. You know, that's a whole other way of looking at things. And again, that's okay within the vocation of soldier or police officer or, you know, National Reserve fighter or something like that. It's not okay, you know, if you're in some different vocation that has nothing to do with it. So it's very, very interesting. I would say, you know, go grab yourself a copy of Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved. It's in volume 46 of Luther's works. Your pastor probably has it, or you as a pastor have it on your shelf. go grab that. And you want to think more about that kind of stuff, more recent stuff, look at Dr. Harold Ristow's book, At Peace with War. He's a chaplain in the Canadian Armed Forces, and he talked about his time in Afghanistan in that book. It's a short book, but it's really good. So there's lots of ways to keep thinking about this and pray for your soldiers and pray for those people in authority, too. They've got a big job, tough job.
Two quick final questions, about 30 seconds apiece, Ted. You said that the movie kind of leaves at least one point. Are they going to be soldiers and do this in a just way? Does a movie resolve that as it ends? Without spoiling the end, does a movie resolve that in the end?
In the end, what they do is it appears very much from the point of view of a Christian watching the movie that they accept their role as their vocation as soldier in the face of death. That they accept that and they willingly go forward and continue to fight.
Then the violence is obviously an issue. You want to have a few pastoral words about a movie as violent as this?
Yeah, you know, this is a super violent movie in a lot of instances throughout. It's pretty realistic, and it's got some lingering things in it that are going to be hard for people to see. Like, there was stuff that myself, I watched it, and I was like, well, I didn't probably need to see that in my life, but there I was, and I was watching it, right? At the movie, kind of through a kind of a quirk here, like in Canada, you'll notice that the movies are always rated a little less than the one in the States. So if you have an R-rated movie in the States, it's 14A here, which means it's, you know, adult accompaniment unless you're over the age of 14. Well, I'm sitting in the movie theater, it's opening weekend, and there were 10-year-old boys and under the age of 10 that were there. And personally, I think that's like a parenting fail there, because it's just too graphic a movie. And like my wife, like when I said, you know, like I'm going to go see this movie, you want to come? She's like, nope, not interested. You know, like, so people, you know, if you want to see a movie like this or not, you know, like don't drag your wife to it if she's not interested. Like, this is not for everybody. It's just not going to be. It has some really violent moments in it that are, you know, are going to maybe stick with you. So keep that in mind when you think about going to see the movie.
Folks, you can check out Pastor Ted Giese's excellent review of Fury at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.